Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Rich Toll, and thanks for tuning in to my 21st century talk for a no bullshit world, because it's all about no bullshit. And we have a special guest in the studio today. Let's say hello to celebrity photographer and director Scott Nathan.
Hey Rich, thanks for having me.
Hey Scott, what's going on? Thanks for coming in. Yeah, we're going to have some fun with Scott today. We're going to get to him later, but you know, we like to get through the beginning here. And let's give a little shout out to yesterday's guest, co-host, comedian, Shannon D. Had a good time with Shannon. You want to check it out in the archives. It's latalkradio.com/Tola Talks. Yeah, it's a little easier one today. It's latalkradio.com/Tola Talks. Check it out. Or the website, richtola.com. And today's also Throwback Thursday. And we're going to throw back. Hey, Scott, we're only going back 5 years this year to 2009.
I think that's a little harder for me to remember.
Yeah, 5 years is too hard to remember. Maybe 20 years is easier.
It is.
I know. Interesting. Well, before we get into all that, we're going to get started with around the globe for the latest news stories. So let's give a couple news stories here. This one we're calling Tighten Your Belt, Seniors. Yeah, check it out. Seniors in 49 of 50 states are struggling to afford retirement. And what does that mean? Well, I'll tell you. Households ages 65 and older in the U.S. are living on average of $37,800 a year. Now, that's 60% of the annual earnings of today's 45 to 64-year-olds. So that's how they value that. They do a little percentage, and it falls short of the 70%, which is pre-retirement income, that's typically recommended for retirees, right? This is from the 2013 Census Bureau, right? And there's only one state with 70%, and that's Nevada. Yeah, check it out. Nevada's kind of pretty powerful over there. They're making some money. And D.C., well, Washington, D.C. is not a state, but they're at 74%. So just to give you some others, Hawaii is at 69%. So they're just barely under 70. But what does all this mean? Well, those two states, Nevada and Hawaii, have strong union cultures. So that's why retirees may have worked for the union. They're getting union pensions. In D.C., they got the federal pensions. So basically, we're talking about, you know, seniors have to live off a little less money. And in Connecticut, New Jersey, these guys are barely above 50%. The worst is Massachusetts and North Dakota. I don't know about that, but you're not retiring anytime soon, are you, Scott?
No. I should be so lucky.
You're an entrepreneur like me, right? There's no such thing.
We always have a cup in our hand.
Yeah, a cup in our hand. No fat pensions waiting for us. No.
Sure.
Speaking of fat pensions, this guy doesn't get a pension, but he's the oldest worker in the country. Check it out. This guy's 102 years old. Lauren Wade. He works at Walmart in Winfield, Kansas. Yeah, check it out. This guy's 32 hours a week as an associate in the lawn and garden department. He's stocking shelves. I mean, they say he's really good with customers. He's a former mail carrier, married for 67 years. You married, Scott?
No. You?
No. No.
I haven't found anyone stupid enough yet.
Stupid enough just to walk down the aisle with you? I don't know. No. This guy here, 67, what's that telling you? He's lived till, holy shit, that means 45 years? A lot of time, this guy. He played sax in a band for nearly 80 years.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, check it out. He says those 50, here's a quote from our buddy Lauren, said, those 50-pound dog food bags are getting pretty heavy. What the hell is this guy carrying? They got to carry a dog food. Hey, you work at Walmart, but that's pretty cool, 102-year-old guy.
You know what? If you have purpose, I think you live to be a long time. It's the people pack it in. People that retire tend to deteriorate pretty quickly. I think you got to have purpose.
Got to have purpose. Yeah, you got purpose over there. A lot of hot people in your world, too,
right? There's that. It's what's on the outside that counts, isn't
it? That's right. It's on the outside. Right. We're not talking inside today. Nah, that's not. We're not wellness. We're not doing wellness today. All right, let's take a look. Next story. We're calling this Beware of the Bee in Your Bonnet. Now, this is a sad story. Arizona man died after being stung more than 100 times by bees. Interesting. Yeah, the fire department answered a call yesterday morning. Crew arrived to find 5 people stung, and the bees, 800,000 of them. Check it out. That's like a huge number, right? 800,000 bees.
Huge. I thought all the bees were gone and deteriorated, and that's why that's one of these apocalyptic theories that we always hear.
Well, it might be a theory, or maybe they're hiding in this hive, a 3-foot by 8-foot hive on an eave of a house. Yeah, they had to cut through part of the ceiling to get to it. And the guy, here's the thing. You got a 90-year-old owner of the home. Nothing happened to him, but a 90-year-old guy didn't know he had a 3-foot by 8-foot hive on top of his house. It's pretty sad, but it's the first time a death was recorded. And this was in Douglas, Arizona, that borders Mexico. There's a border crossing there. But, it's sad news. But from bees, let's go over to Bountiful. The most expensive zip codes in the U.S. It's not Beverly Hills. No. That's what
Can
it
I take
is.
A guess?
Take a guess.
Greenwich, Connecticut.
No, and they didn't even make the top 10. Nope.
Aspen?
You got to think north, my man. Where's all the money up there? Menlo Park. It's called Atherton.
Oh, Atherton, California? Yeah. Sure, near Stanford.
Yep. Second year in a row. Average price of a home is just over $9 million. There's only 7,000 people that live in that town, but it earned the top spot last year as well. Google CEO Eric Schmidt lives there. Other notables, Ty Cobb used to live there. Apple executive Ron Johnson lives there. FBI, what am I thinking? Facebook, not the FBI. FBI is not going to have a lot of money, but Facebook, Sheryl Sandberg lives there, and Shirley Temple. But last summer, Jerry Rice, everybody knows him, he sold his 14,000 square foot mansion for $9 million. So, yeah, let me give you the list to round it out. Number two was Sagaponack, New York for $6.43 million. And then the next three were New York City, Soho, Tribeca in the Upper East Side, ranked 3, 4, and 5. Alpine, New Jersey was number six. P. Diddy, Chris Rock, Mary J. Blige, and Lil' Kim have houses there. Hmm. Well, they did in 2010, it says. They sold for $5 million average house. It's about 15 miles from New York. I know that town. And number seven was Woody Creek, California.
Oh, yeah. Just outside of Aspen. I know that town.
You know that?
Hunter Thompson used to live there.
That's like a tiny town, right?
It's a tiny little town just on the edge of Aspen, just past Snowmass.
Makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. And the next three, 8, 9, and 10, New York again. New York City. Yeah. West Village, downtown. Of course, New York gets 6 out of the top 10. But, way to go, California. Yeah. And on that note, let's go right over to our Get Your Shit Together Award. Because, Scott, what we do every day is I give out a Get Your Shit Together Award because it kind of references my podcast of the same name. We did 30 podcasts. You want to check that out? They're out there. But we're going to call this the Chop Heard Round the World. We're going back to the NFL. Seems like the NFL guys seem to get a lot of these Get Your Shit Together Awards. I'm not sure why, but did you guys see this? The chop block put on Calais Campbell. Now, he's a defensive end of the St. Louis Cardinals. The block was made by Julius Thomas. He's the Denver Broncos. I watched this like 10 times. Right off the line, right, Thomas drops down and chop blocks this guy Campbell into the right knee. Pretty bad. The good news was Campbell, the right foot was off the ground when he got hit, so there was minor damage. It wasn't a major. It would have blown out the knee, but he sprained his knee ligament. Could have ruined his career, he said. And they said, Campbell's a soft-spoken guy. He's kind of a nice guy. He said, I really hope he didn't purposely try to injure me, but I don't know. He didn't have to do it. It was over the top, no kidding. But the key is intent. Did the guy intend to really hurt the guy? And I don't know. But it didn't warrant, I watched the play, it didn't warrant a chop block. So basically, our buddy over there gets to Get Your Shit Together Award, Julius Thomas. You get it, because I know you said you didn't do it intentionally, but they flagged you for it and they fined you. Scott, where'd this number come from? $8,268. Why don't they just round it off to 10 grand?
Something.
So it's like a weird number.
At least he wasn't carrying a gun, was he?
He was not carrying.
So he's like actually an improvement, compared to the rest of his culture.
I would say, this guy, he's chop blocking, but it's pretty bad, I'll tell you. Football players, I know they don't last a long time in that career.
4 years, right? Is that the average?
That's it, right? Not a long time, but I'll tell you, they get hurt. They get hurt for life. That's it.
Yep.
So that was good news. So there you go. Get Your Shit Together Award. We're throwing it back to the NFL. No more chop blocking, guys. And on that note, let's just whip it over to Throwback Thursday. Now, we're only going back 5 years. I can't even remember 2000. Well, I do remember 2009. That's the year I actually premiered my film. Boulevard Zen came out in December 9th of 2009. But anyway, that didn't really make the major highlights. Let's give a quick go-around on 2000. Average income was just under $40,000. Average monthly rent was $675. Not here in California, I'm sure. Or Atherton, forget it. Gallon of gas was $2.73. Not too bad. U.S. stamp was 42 cents. Average cost of a new home was $232,000. Gold, 1 ounce of gold was $958. That's not too far from that. Now, movie ticket was $750. And oil was $53 a barrel. Some other things that happened. NASA launched the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter. You guys remember that? It was searching for ice, and it found water on the moon. Yeah, mobile tech continues to grow. Remember, they were 3G networks. I don't know, where they up to, like, 50 now?
LTE.
LTE, yeah. There's all sorts of...
Whatever that is.
Advancements, yeah. They're like lightning-fast advancements now. Okay, the how about this? The longest solar eclipse of the 21st century was 6 minutes and 38.8 seconds. Don't forget the 0.8. It was over Asia and the Pacific Ocean. I remember this. The American and a Russian satellite collided over Siberia. And then there was all this like conspiracy theories. That's kind of weird. Now, everybody remembers this. Remember Chelsea B. Sully Sullenberger? Everybody knows that. Successful crash landing on the Hudson. Remember that? 155 people on board when it struck a flock of Canadian geese during takeoff from the New York's LaGuardia Airport. And the guy saved everybody's life. It was January 15th. Remember that. And Barack Obama was sworn in as the 44th president. Yeah, he was first African-American president. He had 1.5 million people watch that event in person. That was huge. I remember Samuel L. Jackson was there, Oprah Winfrey, Spielberg, Denzel was there, Dustin Hall. Everybody was there. Here we go. World Health Organization, I remember this. They raised the swine flu alert to its highest level. It's a global pandemic. It has 74 countries, 29,000 cases, 144 people died. And 13,000 of those were in, 13,000 cases in the U.S., and we had 27 deaths. Yeah, there was rioting in Iran. Remember that? Tens of thousands of protesters over the country's presidential election. And in Iran, they killed five people. Five people they sentenced to death. 81 people went to prison.
They're usually so peaceful there.
It's usually so peaceful there. It hasn't been forever. Talk about peaceful. He's resting in peace. Michael Jackson. Remember, he died at the age of 50.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was ruled a homicide involving a combination of drugs. Remember, it was like...
Was it ruled a homicide?
It was ruled a homicide.
By that Conrad Murray?
Remember, he's in jail. He's in jail now? Yeah, I think he's still... Yeah, it was propofol and lorazepam. That's what they said.
What's lorazepam is Ativan, right?
I think that's Ativan, yeah. Yeah.
Well, what do you think about that? I mean, homicide, people get their drugs where they want to get their drugs.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get your drugs.
The guy was a strung out junkie. Rest his soul, Michael, yeah.
Right. But he was all drugged up, so he was going to get it from somewhere. Nah, I think this guy, he's a little railroaded.
Yeah, you can't save a man from himself.
No, you can't save anybody from themselves. That's right. You got to save yourselves, people. He did have Michael Jackson, he did have the best... selling album of all time, Thriller. So, that was crazy stuff. Bernie Madoff, talk about crazy stuff. Remember Bernie Madoff, convicted mastermind of the largest and most sweeping Ponzi scheme. He's sentenced to 150 years in federal prison. I remember that. The judge called him extraordinarily evil. And this guy took everybody's money.
Why haven't they done a movie on him yet?
Well, they've done a bunch of stuff about... they haven't done anything exactly on him with that Ponzi.
A biopic on him, you'd think that would be ripe.
Maybe there's too much money. Maybe they're figuring out who's going to get the money. They got to buy the rights to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? Got to do a deal with him in prison or something. Well, we're talking about Iraqi. Remember, this was when the U.S. hands over security. I remember in 2009, kind of like pulling out. We were pulling out our forces, so we handed over security of Iraqi towns and cities to the Iraqi forces, and the U.S. military gradually pulled out. And it was on June 30th that the Iraqi government called it National Sovereignty Day. Yeah, still need some help over there. Well, remember Sonia Sotomayor? Yeah, she rose from humble roots in the Bronx. Remember Bronx Housing Project, sworn in as the 111th Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. I remember that. And I remember Massachusetts Senator Edward Kennedy died. Yeah, he was 77. Brain cancer, and he was one of only six senators to serve more than 40 years. He's got some history there. Remember Kenny Bunkport?
Oh, yeah. Ted?
That was Chappaquiddick.
You're right.
Yeah, Chappaquiddick.
Drowning Girls.
Yeah, and he left the scene. Right. He's a Kennedy.
What could possibly go wrong?
40 years later in the Senate. Yeah, well, remember Roman Polanski? He was arrested in Switzerland. He was 76 years old when they finally got him on a decades old. This is from 1977. He pleaded guilty to having sex with a 13-year-old. Then he fled the U.S. They finally got him in Switzerland on the warrant, and his bail was set for $4.5 million.
Huh. What do you make of that? I mean, the supposed victim and her mother say it was not a big deal in hindsight and that he should be forgiven. However, he did have sex with a 13-year-old. What do you think?
He had sex with a 13-year-old girl. Yeah, he broke the rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, whether or not. You know, what are you going to do? You can't do that.
No, you cannot.
Nah, they're not ready. 13-year-old. My nieces are 13, but they're not ready for that. I don't give a shit how much the mother says she's...
Well, what mother lets their 13-year-old daughter go hang out with Roman Polanski and Jack Nicholson?
In the first place. Yeah. Right. What do you think's going to happen?
It's not real good parenting.
No. No, that's failure. Failure of parenting, and that's the key. You can't lead by example by having your kids thrown out there. Well, that's a whole nother topic. But the good news is, in that year 2009, remember Obama won the Nobel Peace Prize. He was the fourth U.S. president to win and the third sitting president to do so. He didn't really take a lot of credit for that. He was like, yeah, I don't think he won it that. But
Do you know what Nobel invented?
What did he invent?
He invented dynamite.
He invented dynamite.
Isn't that just the sweet irony?
I like that.
The Peace Prize guy?
It's like you're blowing up.
Yeah.
Yeah, Peace Prize guy invented dynamite because he knows if everybody wins it, they're blowing up. Speaking of blowing up, this guy kind of blew himself up. Everything changed for him. Who are we talking about? Who suffered minor injuries in a car accident, Central Florida neighborhood, when his wife went a little kooky with with his golf club. Remember Tiger Woods?
Oh, yeah.
That was the affair. Remember the affair? Oh, my God. He had numerous affairs.
What have we learned, Tiger?
What have we learned? That totally set his career on a totally different trajectory. Accenture dropped him. Gillette was one of his sponsors. They limited his role. All sorts of shit happened to Tiger when that went down.
His golf game didn't get any better either.
No. No, and he's never really come back from those heights. Yeah.
It's tough. Wild. Given all that privilege at a young age, the football players, him. Like,
that's right.
What would you do if they gave you a ceaseless amount of money and all the women you ever wanted at 18 years old?
Whew. I don't know.
I'd be in a lot of trouble.
Be in a lot of trouble. Yeah, I don't think I would have been able to handle it.
Yeah.
No way. And then what did he get married for? I mean, that's another thing. What's the rush? You got that kind of
maybe
problem.
Maybe he just wanted to be a dad.
Maybe.
You know, lost his father around that time, didn't he? Earl?
Yeah, I guess. I guess it could be that, but...
Temptation's a tough thing, isn't it?
It's a real tough thing. This town, especially. You know, I learned that from... I remember one of the guy I met one of the first... second week I got here. He said, hey, whatever you do, don't be partying in the hills. He goes, if you start partying in the hills, forget about it. You never know who you're going to sleep with. He goes, it's not going to help your career at all.
Nothing good happens after 3 a.m. in this
town.
Yeah,
3 a.m. I always say nothing good happens after midnight, but you're right. From 3 a.m. till, 3 p.m.
Gets dark.
It gets dark. Gets real dark. Well, we're going to talk pop music, though, because I do like some of these names. This is what was happening. This is what was hot in 2009. I'm just going to rattle off something. Well, the number one was Black Eyed Peas. Remember Boom Boom Pow?
Sure.
Yeah, Lady Gaga was big. Taylor Swift, Flo Rida, Jason Mraz, Beyonce, Kanye West. All American Rejects. Really like those guys. Justin Timberlake, T.I., remember that song? Frey, Kings of Leon came out with Use Somebody. Remember that. Remember Jamie Foxx and T-Pain with Blame It?
Yep.
Drake, I like that. Best I Ever Had. Kelly Clarkson was still hitting it then. And Miley and Britney had that song Circus. But the number one album, check this out, of 2009. I remember that. Remember Susan Boyle? She was...
Oh, was that the
I
that
Dreamed
old
a
lady?
Dream. Yeah, who she... It was one of these... went viral. Remember when sang? I was like, holy shit. I think it was Simon Cowell. They were like kind of judging her. And they were like, who's this lady? And you could see their faces. Then she kind of rocked it. It was like, holy shit. And she opened her mouth.
And she got a record deal after that, right?
Major
she put out
record
a record.
Deal.
Was she still going?
I think she's still going. She became like a serious player over there, right? She's a Londoner, I believe.
Well, good for her.
Good for her.
Hope springs eternal for all of us. Never know.
Hit late. That's what we're all hoping for. Well, what about what was going on TV? I'm going to wrap this up soon. What was on top five? Here's the top five released in 2009. Vampire Diaries, Modern Family, Castle. My friend was on Castle. Shout out to Stephanie. Parks and Recreation and The Good Wife. Yeah, other shows, Cougar Town, Archer, Royal Pains. That didn't last too long. Remember that guy?
I don't remember that show.
It was like about some Hamptons doctor out in the, all kinds of weird shit was going on. Eh, it didn't last too long. NCIS LA, I think that's still going. Remember that TV show Hung?
Oh, yeah. That was that Gigolo show?
The Gigolo show.
Was that any good? I never saw it.
Nah, I don't know. I wasn't a big Hung fan.
I never remember to turn on my TV. I'm not one of those people who's above it or like, you know, has to tell everyone at the party they don't have a TV. I pay $150 a month for TV. I watch, I don't know, 15 minutes a week.
A week?
Maybe, yeah. Shit. I turn it on. I'm like, ugh, commercials, turn it off.
No movies? You're not like...
I'll watch Netflix on my iPad in bed. But I, you know, I got the TV. Big TV in the living room, and I never remember to turn it on. Yeah.
You never dust it off either.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about people.
You got people.
Yeah.
Scott's got people. Well, he's a real player in Hollywood, so let's see what those people... How about film? In the film world, I remember this, The Inglourious Basterds.
Oh, what a great movie.
Oh, yeah. Brad and the guy. Blindside. That was another good one. Sandra Bullock, bet the football player. She didn't, like, adopt it. It's based on a true story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did see that
movie. She did a great job. Remember G.I. Joe, Rise of Cobra? That was Channing Tatum. And Avatar was huge. Remember that? Yeah. Zombieland hit that year. And X-Men Origins, Wolverine. The Hangover, of course.
Great. Epic.
Up in the Air. I like that. Clooney, Anna Kendricks.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was a good one. I like that movie.
Yeah, I like that one. I just watched that recently again. I watched that several times. I'm a big fan of Anna Kendricks. Star Trek was there. And remember... You remember this one, 500 Days of Summer, with Zoe
Deschanel? Yeah. That was great.
That was cute. Joseph Gordon-Levitt. That was a good one. Now, the Academy Award, which kind of ties back, or remember, Academy Award, the Oscar, is from the film previous year, right? So this film came out on Christmas Day. What are we talking about? Going back to our singer, Susan Boyle, Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh, yeah.
That was huge.
That was a dark horse.
That was. Danny Boyle. Remember Dev Patel, Frida Pinto. So they were rocking it. They were rocking it there. So that was going on in 2009. Wanted to get through that quickly because who do we have here? Let's give a shout out to my co-host over here, Scott Nathan, all right? He's an award-winning photographer. He got the Professional Photography of the Year Award in 2010, Fashion and Beauty. You do all sorts of stuff here, Scott. Prestigious Photo District New Editor's Pick Award as the top emerging photographer in August of 2010. I mean, some of your clients include Vogue, Italia, Katy Perry, Maroon 5, Elle, Playboy, Lindsay Lohan. Oh, that's interesting. Fred Siegel, Beauty. You got Paramount Pictures, New Line Cinema, the Marine Corps. I mean... Scott, you're called one of a kind. Now, this is what people are saying about you. You got some great things. Uh-oh. Down to earth, humble and hungry. I like that. You are humble and hungry. And he says that your work has a pop feel to it. It's fantastic. I mean, your work is awesome. You guys got to go check out his website. It's scottnathanphoto.com. You're going to see all his good stuff. Exceptional, creative genius. You've been called everything. But what I want to also talk about is naturally naughty. Fall 2009 campaign. And what's up with this bedtime stories for grown-ups?
Oh, where'd you find that?
Where'd I find that? I poked around. So, Scott Nathan, welcome. I mean, you got a lot of good stuff.
Thank you. Thanks, Rich. What are we talking about?
Well, you tell me. I mean, when'd you get into business? Because how do you become a top photographer in this town?
I got into late. You know, I got into it when I was a little kid as an enthusiast. My dad used to rent office space in Chicago in this building that was nothing but photographers. And my dad was electrical supplies and janitorial supplies guy, but he found a little starter office there, and I thought it was cool. So I would ask to come to work and ride my skateboard up and down these smooth marble hallways in this old deco building, and I would, being a gregarious vocal kid, I'd knock on people's doors and be, what are you doing in here? And there were photographers and modeling agencies, and Kodak had offices there, and I just got to know everybody. And being a rosy-cheeked, redheaded kid, I ended up doing the odd modeling job. And then I would ask if I could sit in and watch. So it was one of those old-fashioned buildings that had the manual elevators, and I'd ride up and down with the guys, and they were all Teamsters and gangsters, and they, you know, cameras and bits and bobs would find their way into my bag. I never stole anything, but I got gifts. So
It fell off a truck.
You're from New York, you understand. So, you know, my ninth birthday rolled around, and my dad asked me what I wanted, and I said I wanted a darkroom. So he built me a darkroom. So I started very, very young. Now, it didn't occur to me to turn pro until almost my 40th birthday. So I didn't really start shooting until 2005. Didn't officially turn pro until 2007. A friend of mine who was a big fashion and celebrity photographer encouraged me, liked my work, and said that you should turn pro. And I said, are you nuts? Finally making a living at something I like. I'm not starting anew at 38 years old. And he said, yes, you are. So I said, okay. So I blew my life savings. He said, you're going to come work with me on set for a few months. I'm going to show you how things work with lighting and handling clients and publicist and talent. And then I'm going to fire you one day and you're going to fly. So I said, okay. So I started working with him on set, and I did that for maybe 5 or 6 months, and true to his word, on one day after, he said, that's great, everyone did a great job, Scott, you're fired. And I said, wait, what am I fired? Why am I fired? And he said, you're going to get addicted to this money, so go fly, little birdie, there's nothing else I can teach you. So I went about 3 weeks unemployed from that, and then one of his former vice presidents of the cosmetics company called me and said, I'm leaving this company, I'm going to another brand. Can you shoot beauty like he can? I said, yeah, I think I can. I know all of his moves. So she says, put together a creative brief for this brand. And the brand was called Too Faced Cosmetics. So I'm like, okay, Too Faced. Good girl, a bad girl. Kind of like the James Bond thing. One blonde, mm-hmm. one brunette. So I went in, I pitched them. They liked the idea. They said, okay, let's do this. What's our next step? I said, let's cast. So we put together a casting. I go to a casting studio. First day I see blondes. I get about 220 blondes through the door. And I find this, the perfect blonde, the perfect scary, imposing blonde, you know, blue eyes, intimidating girl. She's my bad girl. Mm-hmm. Next day, I'm casting brunettes. I see 200 brunettes. I don't see anyone that I like. I don't feel like anyone's like a fit. So they said, who you got? And I said, I don't have anybody. I need another casting day. And they said, you mean between 200 models that you saw in Los Angeles, you cannot find one brunette you like? And I said, nope. Let's have another casting. So they're like, all right, one more casting. So we have a casting the next day. I see another 60 girls. I'm like, I still don't see anyone I'm crazy about. And they're like, well, you need to pick. And I said, I got an idea. And they said, what's the idea? And I said, I got this friend of mine. And they said, oh, cool. What agency is she with? I said, she's not a model. She doesn't have an agency. And I said, what is she? I said, she's a singer. I said, that's interesting. What label is she signed to? I said, she doesn't have a record deal.
Oof.
They said, you're telling me you want to put your balls on the chopping block and take a chance on a nobody singer? I said, yeah. They said, what's her name? I said, her name's Katy Perry.
No kidding.
And they said, we'll meet her, but no promises. So I called Katy that night, and who was starving at the time. You know, just didn't have a dollar and was like, just runs a bad luck. And I said, Perry, what are you doing tomorrow? And she says, I'm writing with someone. I said, cancel it. I'm picking you up at 11.
Oh,
and she said, what are we doing? I said, I'll explain on the way there. So I took her there, and we pitched them in the room and managed to sell it. And then thankfully, shortly after the campaign came out, Katy became a big star. So it was the most stupid and the smartest thing I've ever done in my career. So that's kind of how I got started and how I accidentally became a beauty guy.
Would you call that luck? Was there luck involved with that? Or, I mean, first of all, you were the kid. 3 weeks, you said you went without. They didn't call you. Were you nervous at all? Like thinking, phone's never going to ring. I'm not making any money.
Oh yeah, I had no clients. I had nothing. I didn't have a portfolio. I had nothing.
Nothing.
So that was lucky. You know, pulling for Katy when she didn't even have anything coming out was profoundly stupid. But I really believed in her. And I used to work in music years ago, and you don't see artists like that come along very often. So I knew that there was something special. Now, I've seen other artists that I thought were amazing that didn't hit either. But I don't know. Go with your gut. It's usually never wrong.
You got to go with your gut. Now, she had already switched over. She was gospel, right? And then she kind of moved away from gospel. She had already done that? Is that what happened?
Yeah, her parents. She's from Santa Barbara. And I met her shortly after she got here. And she's the daughter of two traveling ministers. And she was like a girl with an acoustic guitar and kind of conservative clothes and kind of folky. And she used to play at the Hotel Cafe over in Hollywood, and I'd go over there with my little video camera, and I'd take videos of her shows, and we hung out. I met her at the Chateau Marmont. She couldn't get in, and I was walking in with my girlfriend, and she was like, "Can you guys get me in here?"
No kidding.
I said, "Yeah." So my girlfriend Dahlia at the time and I used to, you know, Katy used to kind of third wheel it with us on dates, and we all became friends, and that's kind of how it all started.
Holy shit!
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, the Chateau. You can't get in there. That's an old Hollywood joint.
It's tough. They used to have an old joke that this is the only place you could smoke in town because the police weren't cool enough to get in to enforce it.
They wouldn't let him in.
Yeah.
No, that's wild. So you're linked to some, you know, Katy Perry.
Yeah.
That's a good... So she still shoot her then?
I haven't shot Katie in a while. We're overdue.
Yeah, I mean, how does that work? Like when a celebrity, did they request you? I mean, obviously, if you were, I never worked with you, man. I'd love to work with you. But like once someone really likes working with you, do they request you? No,
yeah.
It's like, hey, I want Scott. I don't want anybody else.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, the prime example is Dita Von Teese, who I've known for a long, long time, which is kind of a funny story about how we met. But she's been, you know, Katie was my first big beauty campaign. And Dita, I knew as a stripper, which I guess technically she still is, just a very, very fancy one. But I met Dita back in 1999, far, you know, long, long before I thought about becoming a photographer. And this kid I went to college with named Greg Parker calls me up one day and he says, you're a photographer, aren't you? And I said, well, I like taking pictures. Why? He said, I'm directing this TV show for Playboy Channel. And everyone on my crew is really lame. And they're all just Teamsters who I have nothing in common with. And I need someone to take still photographs for the box covers for these videos that we're putting out. And I said, so what's the gig? And he said, it's called Strip Search. And we travel from sea to shining sea, taking pictures and making videos with strippers. And I just moved here. I'm like couch surfing. I didn't even have a place to live. I didn't have a job. I didn't have a dollar. So I said, wait a minute. You want to give me money to get on a tour bus and fly on airplanes and take pictures of naked women? You're going to pay me for this. He goes, yeah. I said, I'm in. So the first city we shot in was Phoenix, Arizona. The first dancer I shot was a newly named Dita Von Teese. And she was kind of a ringer. Like she had done some stuff for Playboy before, so she was kind of the kind of gimme. And she was great. She was interesting, and she had, you know, a kind of a small but still impressive version of what her stage show is now. The fan dance, very retro, very burlesque, very tasteful. And then the next day I had to fly back to LA, and we were not only on the same flight, but we were seated next to each other. So it was kind of kismet. And so we've been friends ever since. So when her career started taking off, she came to me and she told me about all these photographers that wanted to help her with her beauty book with HarperCollins, and that she was comfortable with me and it was going to be the best thing that either of us had ever done. So we've been working together for years and done many, many campaigns, and it's been great.
What a relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah, you build a lot. I mean, you've built many relationships. How many have you shot? Hundreds or thousands? What do you think?
I don't even know.
A lot.
It's hard to remember. I sometimes I'll run into someone and I'll be like, where do I know you from? And they'll be like, we did a photo shoot together. And I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Wow.
I'm getting old.
Yeah,
and that's perilously close to senility.
Well, like 10 years you've been doing it? How long you been pro? You said four. Well, you're not even 50. No.
No, I'm 48. I started shooting in 2005. I kind of declared myself a full-time pro in 2007.
Where that was it. No other checks coming in.
Yeah. I stopped doing other stuff. I stopped doing commercials. I was doing that. It was kind of my dirty little secret. I was acting in commercials on the side just when I found out I could make a little extra money in health insurance. So I did 30 of those.
You did 30 commercials?
Yeah.
Were they like infomercials or commercials?
No,
commercials are real money, like 5 to 30,000 kind of jobs?
Or? Some are a few thousand, some are 60,000.
Yeah.
You know, if you get lucky. It's funny, the one that paid me the most was the one I did the absolute least on. It was a spot for Hyundai. And I showed up on set and I, you know, unshaven like I am today and messy hair. And I said, okay. He said, Scott, I need you on set in 10 minutes, the director said. And I said, well, I need to, you know, get my hair and makeup done. He goes, no, you're this messy best man at the wedding. I like you. I like the slob thing. He goes, no dialogue. I just want you to grab the guy by the back of his head and look at him and give him a thumbs up. So I said, okay. So I was in and out. All in 90 minutes, and it played on every TV show 4 or 5 times. It played on the World Series. It got all those bumps for special events. I think it made $60,000 or $70,000 from that for 90 minutes.
Wow.
So selling Hyundais bought me the Mercedes that I bought that year.
Holy shit. You know, and it's not that they're not easy to get.
They're not.
So anybody out there, you think you're going to come here and get a commercial, make 60 grand. Good luck.
Yeah. all my commercial friends tell me that they don't get long pops like that anymore, that they're, you know, 5, 10, 12, which still isn't bad. But you got to take a lot of swings at bat. You got to go on a lot of auditions to book these things.
You do. Well, you got to be in it. You were in it, though. That's what you were doing. You were going to the audition.
I mean, I was going to all of them, but I'm not. I'm a terrible actor. I'm not great with dialogue. I had some with dialogue, but some of them, I'm just the funny-looking redheaded geek in the office. You know, sometimes when you're shooting a group of people, you need the black guy, the Asian girl,
you do.
The redhead,
you gotta round
the blonde.
It out.
So I think I was just there for color on a lot of them. So.
Got to round it out. Yeah, I didn't really fit a lot. I got the long-haired Italian guy. It's like everybody told me, you got to cut your hair. you're this, you're that, you're too muscular, you're bad. It's like, yeah, okay. I mean, I got everything in the book.
I've never been called too muscular.
You've never been called too
muscular? No, sadly.
Well, no, I mean, this is like a good thing, but you definitely have like an all-American, I don't want to use the word ordinary, you're not ordinary, but you definitely have a look that is consistent with society, right, or middle America.
I'm always the geek.
You're the geek.
I'm always booked as the geek.
Geek is hot.
Geek is chic, man. I was on a billboard right over here by the 101 for Beauty and the Geek. Remember that TV show?
Yeah.
I wasn't on the show, but I was a model for it. So it had like bikini girls and me with like a pocket protector and like glasses that were held together with a Band-Aid and short pants. And
I could see that. Yeah. I could see that. He's got the hair and yeah, holy cow. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
I've been trying to sell out my whole life, just no one's been buying until now.
No one's been buying. Well, but you're rocking it. You got all these relationships. What about, well, I mean, you're still friends with Katy Perry, and probably a lot of people you're shooting. Do you get, like, you hang out? People calling you up for parties? You got a lot of parties, house parties?
There was a time that I didn't miss the opening of an envelope, that I went to everything. And now I'm kind of slowing down a little, bit more selective. I like being social, but not every night of the week.
Yeah, and there's something, you get invited every night, you get invited a lot. Now, do you do any of the, you don't do any of the red carpet stuff, right?
No.
That's like a whole different category, isn't it?
Yeah, not my jam.
It's not your jam. You ever do that or no, it was not for you?
Shooting for red carpet?
Yeah, you know, the guy, no. There's like a whole line of them, but you see the same.
I don't even understand how that works as a business model, and it must because they're all there. But I figure all these people are taking, hundreds of people are taking the same picture, and then they all have to sell it to a finite number of news outlets.
And I think where they're making money is when they put it on the...
On the wire
and you go to buy it. Like what they'll do is they're taking... I mean, I know this, where they have the first half an hour before the talent gets there. They have guests that walk the red carpet.
Okay.
And they take everybody's picture. You know, Joe Schmo, whatever. And then they tell you. And then you go look on the wire. You buy it for $4 or $5. So I don't know. Maybe they're... making money off of...
I mean, they must be getting by. I never got into anything sort of events. For me, it's almost always in a studio, which I think because my tests and my first hit campaigns were studios, that's what people call me in for. And it's funny, I'll still get people going, can you shoot natural light, like shoot on the beach? I'm like, well, if I can take a 16 light portrait, I'm pretty sure I can take one with one, the sun.
No, but shit, I can handle it.
Yeah, so, no events, almost all studio, but a fair amount of natural light stuff, too.
And how about films? Because then they use that black box, but, I mean, that's a whole different thing. But when you're doing still photography on a film shoot, do you ever do that?
I've done it on occasion, not necessarily because I've wanted to, but I did it because there was someone that I wanted to learn from.
Okay.
So I've done a couple... I've done commercials as unit, but only on a few. Like, I did one last year because I'm a huge Wes Anderson fan.
Oh, yeah.
And always have been. So someone asked me if I wanted to shoot an ad campaign with cows.
Cows.
And I said, who's directing it? And they said, Fred Savage, the actor from The Wonder Years, who also directs Modern Family's directing. I'm like, well, that's cool. He's from Chicago. I'm from Chicago. Who's the DP? They said, the cinematographer is... Robert Yeoman. I said, oh my God, it's Wes's guy. Like, I was more impressed about the cinematographer than I was with Fred, who's also an amazing director. So they said, well, it's not shooting unit. You're actually going to shoot a print advertising campaign. So I got there and I did 3 days with the talking cows. I'd never worked with animals before. You know those commercials?
Yeah, with the talking cows.
So I'm like, this seems interesting. So I show up on set. It's like a brutal 5 a.m. call time. We shot at Sony Studios. And you can't be in a bad mood when there's, like, mooing cows on set, you know, in a little kid's bedroom or whatever. So the cow wrangler comes up to me on the first day and she says, Mr. Nathan, so how do you want the cows to look for your shot? And I was like, I don't know, black and white? What do you mean?
Yeah.
And she goes, well, I was thinking, like, I could do them, like, matte or I can do them, like, glossy, like with conditioner. And I'm like, I'm like, glossy, I guess? She's like, what do you want the cow's action to be? And I'm being sarcastic. I didn't know the cows could do anything. So I said, okay, I want it. And I'm just being a wise ass. And I said, I want her to come in from stage right. I want her to stop on a mark. I want her to look over at me. And then I want her to go chin up. And she goes, okay, got it. And I'm like, got it? Really?
That's the handler?
The cow wrangler. So they had to rotate cows like every 20 minutes, you know, because they need breaks because the animals have a union, I guess. So they've got these catwalks over the sound stage, and they got these tongs like, you know, old people used to pick things up with, those little spring-loaded plastic tongs. And they had these compressed cubes of hay. So the cow would follow. Oh, they'd have rehearsals outside on the studio lot, and then they'd bring them in. And and they did all that action. Then there was one guy on set whose whole gig the entire 3 days was to follow each cow around with a bucket behind him.
Oh, shit.
So so me and my guys are kind of like laughing at that. That's this guy's whole gig. So just to be a smart ass one day, I said, hey, how long you been doing this? And he says, 8 years. I said, you ever think about doing anything else? And he looks at me and he holds the bucket up and he says, what, and leave show business?
He's the wrangler who handles the shit for 8 years.
Because all these sets were lavish because it was the cows are all out of context. So one of them was in this beautiful like stainless steel black and white kitchen. Another one was in a little kid's bedroom with white carpeting in it. So
and this guy's making 80 grand picking up shit.
Probably.
Big time.
Works more often than I do. That's for sure.
Well, it's consistent.
Yeah.
Consistent. Should we take a look at this, the music video direct?
That'd be great. That's really exciting.
All right, so I'm going to play this, but tell us a little bit about this. This is your first directorial?
This is my first music video I'm directing. I've directed some commercials and some beauty spots. This is a 21-year-old Russian singer by the name of Cooper Phillip. I became aware of her about a year ago. I met her manager at a charity event in Beverly Hills, and he said he knew my work, and he said, I'd love for you to do some beauty photos of this singer I'm representing. And I said, great, what's she like? Who's she signed to? They said she doesn't have a record deal. And I'm like, oh, my God, no money. Great.
You've heard that before.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, oh, great, another freebie. But I didn't say anything. And I said, oh, great, well, I'd love to hear. Why don't you just email me her music and let me check it out? Emails me the music. I'm like, I'll be polite. I'll listen to one song. I listen to a song. I was like, this girl's amazing as I think she is. And I said, listen to another song and another song and another song. And I said, oh, my God. I call him up and I said, let's meet. Said, okay, let's meet. We show up, we meet for drinks, they bring the artist, and they said, so what do you want to shoot? I said, I don't want to take pictures at all. And they start looking really uncomfortable. Right, they're like, what do you mean you don't want to take pictures? I said, I want to direct a music video. And this guy's looking really uncomfortable. And he says, all right, well, great, just why don't you just email us your reel of all the music videos you've directed? I said, I've never directed a music video, but here's the song. I think we should do this song, Silence, and I think here's the concept of it. I want it to look like an old black and white session film that like Frank Sinatra and Barbara Streisand did, and I just pitch for 15 minutes, and then I could tell the artist was kind of like, hey, I kind of like this guy's idea. And then they said, can you do it for this much money? And I said, I will figure out a way. It's my passion project. I will get everyone I know to work for free for this one because I've never asked anyone for a deal. And God bless them. They said yes and let me do it, and it just premiered yesterday.
Holy cow. We got it. We got it hot. It's called Cooper Phillip. Check it out on YouTube, Silence. All right. Here we go.
Hit it.
Sleeping on separate sides, laying beneath your light. I wanna apologize to you. Lack of reality, close to insanity. Why would you leave me? Why would you push me? Give a talk of war near the edge. What would you say if I left without a trace? Because I couldn't let you be loving me now and again. Loving me now and again. Silence, take the stage. Lost your love in the war. Time to even the score. Giving up nothing more for you. Stabbed in your hunger gauge. Let pride get in the way. The ocean, and I'm dreaming. be loving me now and again. Facing the end in the words written on my face. But I can fix myself to say loving me now and again. Silence, shake the shade.
Great pipes, huh?
Great pipes. Oh, I like the video. You got to see. Yeah, you directed that. That's really cool. I love the black. Yeah, you're right. It does fit that whole Sinatra. I was reading about that in the Hollywood Reporter today.
What's that?
I did a piece on how they wanted to bring. It was one of the first televised events where Sinatra and like all the old stars were there. And, anyway, it's all black and white. Oh, I'll give it to you. I have it in my bag. But this was awesome.
Cool. That studio we shot in was called East West Studios over in Hollywood. It's such a famous old place. And I knew it because Sinatra recorded My Way, New York, New York, and My Way there. Elvis recorded there. U2. Michael Jackson's Thriller was recorded there. Cooper's favorite album, Whitney Houston, The Bodyguard, was recorded there. So it was a really special place full of juju. Beach Boys' Pet Sounds was recorded there.
And that's where that's where it was?
Yeah, the piano in the video hanging over the mic hanging over the piano was one of the mics Sinatra used, and the one she was singing and standing was one of the Whitney Houston mics. So
awesome.
It's just a special, historic place.
Man, what a ride you've had in this town, huh? How long have you been here?
22 years.
22 years.
Goes by fast.
But I would say the first 15, you were like everyone else, just banging away, finding your groove. And about
still banging away.
You're still, but you found your groove.
Yeah, it's going. You're
rocking
you know?
It. You're rocking it. Yeah,
sometimes I feel like I'm like a cat toy being batted around.
That's what this town does to you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, success is always, it's got to keep recreating it.
100%.
100%. Well, let's go to the Fast Five. I don't know if I told you, but at the end of each show, we go and give you five quick questions here, Scott, just to get a little flavor for your personality. So let's go with number one here. Okay, you choose A or B, but you'll know. Chocolate or vanilla ice cream?
Well, sadly, dairy, and I had to start seeing other people a few years ago. I became lactose intolerant, but in my heyday, I ate a lot of chocolate Haagen-Dazs.
Chocolate Haagen-Dazs. I haven't heard that in a while.
I like that one. Simple. I don't like food in my ice
cream.
Ben
and Jerry's.
I don't like all that stuff. I just want ice cream.
Yeah. So the breakup. Yeah. That was kind of.
If I want it, I can take those lactaid pills once in a while if I really want to splurge. But I'd kind of try to skip the dairy.
All right. But if you had to, you go with the chocolate.
100%.
You got it. Number two, tropical island or New York City?
Why do I have to choose? I love both. New York City.
I figured. Come on. That camera.
I love that girl.
Uh-huh. Yeah, here we go. Number three, ancient Rome or the Wild West?
Ancient Rome.
Got to go with ancient Rome. I don't know.
It's my favorite city in the world.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Got to go with it. Then how about number four, tearjerker or action thriller? I think I know this one.
I'm going to have to say action thriller.
I knew that. I said, this guy's got to be. Now, this one, I'm
not
too
above a chick flick. I'm really not.
You're not. Now, no. I like the chick flicks. I do. But you're an action thriller guy. You see the Expendables, number 57 or whatever they're up now.
But I have not seen the latest ones.
You haven't
ones.
Seen? No, yeah. I did. I'm a Stallone fan, so got to see
I am too.
Oh, yeah. How about number five, candlelight dinner or picnic in the park?
Candlelight dinner.
Got to.
I like being served, not, you know, schlepping things
yeah,
around.
Yeah, carrying you know, all that.
Cleaning up.
All the flies.
Bringing dirty dishes home.
Dirty dishes. No, no. You want to be catered to.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're probably catered to. Then when you're on set, everybody's running. You're like the main guy, right? Photographer.
It's nice, you know. Sometimes, you know. It depends who's the star on the set. If it's advertising, I'm usually the guy. If the star is always the star. It's never me.
Right, right. Talent. Well, yeah. you're below the line. You're above the line. You're kind of like you fall outside of the lines, as they say.
Yeah, but you know, as soon as it's funny because you'll get. I remember very early on in my career, I got put. They told me that this big wardrobe stylist is coming to work with me for this magazine shoot, and the guy shows up and he's mouthy queen with a big attitude, and he says to me, he goes, let's just get one thing straight, honey. There's only one star on this set, and it's me. Like, and when someone takes it out and flops it out on the table, you gotta stand up to them.
That's right.
So I said, let's get one thing straight. There's only one star on this set. It's not you and it's not me. It's the star that's about to show up. And by the way, get your shit and get out of here. You're fired. He says, what are you gonna do? You need clothes. I said, whatever she's wearing, I'll be fine.
Oh, and you tossed him.
And thank God it worked out. But I sent him home. Oh. And now we're friends. But really? He was like, that was bold. You sent me home.
Dude, well, that's your baby. You got fired, sent the people home. It's the way it goes.
Yeah.
But hey, you can't hold grudges in this town.
Never have egos, you know?
No.
There's no reason for it. We're all trying to do the same thing.
That's
we're just making pictures. No one's bleeding. No one's saving lives. We're just
having fun.
Exactly.
Making stuff up.
Exactly.
Well, Scott, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so much fun.
Yeah, we all had a good time. So, hey, check out Scott. You want to check it out? It's at Scott Nathan. And you want to check out scottnathanphoto.com. Check him out. It's got a lot of good stuff out there. You want to check out the archives, listen to this again, or any other shows, you know where to go. latalkradio.com/Tola Talks or richtola.com. You can always check out more there. And tomorrow we have Acoustic Fridays. Kids on McCadden will be in the studio tomorrow. So, hey, everybody, thanks for listening. I'm Rich Tola. And remember, dreams do come true. But, hey, what do I know?
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.